Good morning. It's good to be back with you. Oh, that's nice of you to say. One of you. I joke. Two of you are happy I'm back. Over the past 6 weeks, we've dug into these easy commands, and we've learned that they're really not so easy to follow at all. And we probably even learned that we don't really even understand all that God meant when he just gave us those first few words. They go so deep. And so we've learned a lot. We've seen that we have failed to keep these commands that are simply so easy. But each week we've also learned and heard of Jesus, right? And that's what you come here for, right, Marv? Every week you come here to hear of Jesus and his great love for us. The forgiveness that he has given to us for all those times we have failed to keep those easy commands. And so today, as we close out this series, we're going to see the same thing again. That we have failed and that we've been forgiven. So before we dig in, I invite you to join me in a word of prayer. God, it is good to be here, and it is a blessing to serve you in this way. We pray that you send your Holy Spirit onto this place, that my words may be your words, and the words that are spoken here may resonate in the hearts and minds of these here children, that they may see this easy command and yet know that even when they fail, just like I do, that there is forgiveness for us in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, you can move us to be content instead of coveting those things that you have given to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's the thing. God created you to be content with what he has given to you. Everything you have is a gift that comes from God. So God has created you to be content. That means to be satisfied with what he has given you. How are we doing? How are we doing on this? Maybe we've gotten better with age. Maybe not. But we have to ask ourselves, are we content? Are we satisfied with what God has given to us? These last two commandments are all about coveting. And interesting enough, they connect us all the way back to the first commandment. We got lots to learn today. So before we dig in, let's go a little bit into what is coveting. Lauren kind of explained that for our kids, which is great. I'm going to take it a little bit further. Coveting is that sinful desire that we have in our hearts to acquire for ourselves anything that belongs to our neighbor. And that doesn't mean Joe across the street and Sam right next door. That doesn't just mean those neighbors. That means anybody, anywhere, anything. But it also means that we're going to do anything to draw away those gifts from our neighbor. To covet means that we're going to do something to draw away from our neighbor anyone or anything that is important to them. Why? For our benefit. So it's that sinful desire, and then that desire then to pull away things from our neighbors for our benefit. This is a very dangerous commandment, these last two. And so to help us understand this, I want to dig into that first reading that Beth read for us just a few moments ago. We're going to go through it again. It's so good. 1 Kings 21, that's where we're going to spend the majority of our time. 1 Kings 21. Naboth, however you want to pronounce it, it's just fine. I pronounce it Naboth, so I'm going to be saying Naboth. The story of Naboth's vineyard here is one that you see covetousness leading to even more sin, to even more breaking of God's easy commands, all the way back to the first commandment. All right? So let's check this out. 1 Kings 21, beginning with verse 1. Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard in Jezreel beside the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And after this, Ahab said to Naboth, "Give me your vineyard that I may have it for a vegetable garden, because it is near my house. I will give you a better vineyard for it, or if it seems good to you, I will give you its value in money. Yet Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers. Naboth, we have never met Naboth until right now, so this poor guy that we know nothing about, other than the fact that he's inherited some pretty awesome land. So good that the king wants it, right? But he only wants it because it's right beside his palace. So naturally, because he's king, right, and because it's near his palace, King Ahab thinks that he should have it. But there's some problems with this, right? It's not his. And just because he wants it doesn't mean he can have it. He doesn't own it, and the owner, Naboth, doesn't want to give it to him. He doesn't want to sell. He wants to hold out, right? And not only that, Naboth has the law on his side. By the Lord's order, he shall not give up the inheritance of his fathers. But King Ahab really, really wanted that land. He coveted it. Look at verse 4. Because he didn't get this land, look at verse 4. Ahab went into his house, vexed and sullen because of what Naboth the Jezreelite had said to him. For he had said, I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers. And then, look at this. King Ahab lay down on his bed and turned away his face and would not eat food. This ninth easy command broken. Instead of being happy for his neighbor, instead of being happy for Naboth, Ahab was vexed and sullen, which means he was angry. And he was brooding in his anger. And then he takes a very interesting next step. He's so angry, so mad that he goes to bed. He refused to eat his royal food. He refused to look at, or touch anything or anyone that came to him. He turned his face away. You can say he was having a royal temper tantrum. But things are about to change here. But not by Ahab's doing. Let's look here at verse 5. See what happens next. This is a fun little story. Jezebel, Ahab's wife, came to him and said to him, why is your spirit so vexed? Why are you so angry that you eat no food? And he said to her, because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite. And he said, to him, give me your vineyard for money, or else if it please you, I'll give you another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give you my vineyard. Jezebel's wife said to him, do you now govern Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let your heart be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So King Ahab's pouting, his little temper tantrum in bed, and his wife comes in and says, what's wrong with you? Oh, I can't get the land from Naboth. She's like, who are you? Are you not the king? Do you not govern all of Israel? Of course you do. Remember who you are. Get up. Wipe those tears away. Eat your royal food. Don't worry, but be happy. For I'm about to get you what you want. I'm about to get you what you covet. And here, friends, is where we see coveting doing what it so often does, leading to the breaking of all these other commandments. Like the seventh commandment. Thou shalt not steal. Nothing has been stolen yet, right? But the intent is there. The desire, the plans are now starting to come together. Satan is working. And as we continue on into this story, what do we see? Yet another commandment after another commandment being broken because of coveting. Let's look at verses 8 and following. She wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal. She sent the letters to the elders and leaders who lived with Naboth in his city. And she wrote in the letters, proclaim a fast and set Naboth at the head of the people. and set two worthless men opposite him and let them bring a charge against him, saying, you have cursed God and the king. And take him out and stone him to death. And the men of his city, the elders and the leaders who lived in his city, did as Jezebel had sent word to them. As it was written in the letters that she had sent to them, they proclaimed a fast and set Naboth at the head of the people. And the two worthless men came in and sat opposite him. And Naboth, and the worthless men brought a charge against Naboth in the presence of people, saying, Naboth cursed God and the king. So they took him outside the city and stoned him to death with stones. Now, Queen Jezebel uses this deception to break the eighth commandment, to speak ill of Naboth, telling lies to get what they want. And then she goes so far to pay off two worthless men. I love how Scripture just says what it is. Scripture just speaks truth. These are worthless men. They don't care about anything, obviously, other than the money that the queen is going to give them. So she works with these two worthless men, and they desire, and the coveting, and all this land stuff that they want is going deeper and deeper. The sin is getting worse and worse. Ahab and Jezebel and company are falling further and further into this trap. All because they want this piece of land. And what does it ultimately lead to? Murder! Not the way that we murder, right? Like we murder with our hate and all those types of things. No, this is legitimate murder. Killing an innocent man, all because of a desire to have something. All because they coveted some land for a vegetable garden. And all while this has come full circle, where's King Ahab? He's still in bed. He is still in bed. Look at verse 15. As soon as Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead. Seventh commandment, eighth commandment, fifth commandment, all these commandments broken. Acquiring these things by dishonesty, fraud, and just continually taking advantage of others. And then the first commandment broken. Look at verse 16. And as soon as Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, Ahab rose to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. First commandment is what? You shall have no other gods. What was Ahab's god? The vineyard. Ahab's heart and trust rested in a single piece of land that he wanted for a vegetable garden. It became his focus, his only desire, his most important thing, and he would do anything to get it. It became his God. See, that's what happens with this commandment, this coveting. How easily we want something or we want to be somewhere that it moves us deeper into taking other actions and breaking other commandments. It's this snowball effect. You'll do anything to get it. Maybe it's not to the extent of murder, right? But for some, we know it is. That's why they're in jail. But maybe it's working those extra hours so you can get something you want. Now, that's not wrong necessarily, but if you are neglecting your family, if you're neglecting other responsibilities, if you're neglecting God, now you've gone down a road. You've gone down this coveting road that leads you back to breaking that first commandment. Coveting means that something becomes the object of our affection, that we're going to do anything to get it. you see, we live in a world today that we struggle with this because we're constantly tempted and told by society to get what we want, to do whatever we need to get it, because we're supposed to have it, right? No, but that's what we think, that's what we believe, that's what society tells us. So maybe it's not stealing it, but maybe it's just racking up massive amounts of debt on your credit card. Maybe it's not that. Maybe it just consumes your mind and your heart. That thing, that place, whatever it is you wish that you had desired, just moves into your head and your mind and your heart, and it takes up space that truly belongs to the one who's given you what you have already. And why is it this way? Why are we not content with what God has given to us? I don't know. I can't answer that. I remember what it was when I was a kid, right? Peer pressure. Well, we know today that advertising leaves us dissatisfied. They're listening to us right now, and so if you hear me talking about, you know, something like an electric bike, or you might have that show up on your Amazon ad or Instagram or something like that. So they put these things in front of us all the time, leaving us dissatisfied, making us crave other things because we got to keep up with the Joneses. They want us to believe that our happiness and satisfaction is going to be found in something new. But here's the deal. Does it ever last? When you buy a new toy, does that continue to bring you happiness? When you get the latest iPhone, does that continue to bring you happiness? No, it doesn't, because we continue to chase after other things, other desires. And as they become our focus, there's always one thing that happens. In the end, they always disappoint. They always disappoint. Nothing can bring us true satisfaction. Nothing can bring us true happiness. Nothing can bring us an everlasting answer other than the one who's given us everything. Our God, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. All those times that we've chased after something, all those times we've desired, we've coveted to have the best, and we've been led down this rabbit trail of sin, guess what? They've been forgiven, right? That's what we know. We know that they've been forgiven in Jesus Christ. Our failure of keeping this easy command has been forgiven again and again and again. And each time we've been given new life. I don't know what's best for me. I don't know what I need, but God's does. God's intent is always best. He knows what we need and when we need it. He knows where we need to be and when we need to be there. He wants us to trust in Him. He wants us to love Him and honor Him above all things. He wants us to be content in Him and His love. That's what God wants for you. That's what He wants for me. We were created for this. We were created to be content with the gifts that God gives to us to sustain our life. And, don't forget this part, and we're to be happy for those around us. Even if God has blessed them with more, or giving them different opportunities to serve, places to live, we're to be content with what God has given to us and happy for them. That leads us into that second passage, 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Let me say that again. Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. You never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Now understand this, it doesn't say money is the root of all evil, it's the love of money. Let's understand these words. Money itself is not evil, it's the love of money. That's why Paul continues on to say there, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. They covet it, and so it becomes their god, which pulls them away from the truth. Now, whether you have a lot or a little, we have to understand that Jesus Christ has blessed us all with riches beyond comprehension. He's given to us freely the riches of his priceless salvation, and nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate you or me from his love. His love is so powerful, it's so amazing, that it pulls us back to him as we wander away, as we covet these things. He pulls us back to him through his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And because of this, we're able to enjoy lives of godliness with contentment. We're able to wake up each day and thank the Lord, for he is good. Why? Because his mercy endures forever. You see, friends, all that we can take with us when we leave this world is the life and immortality that Jesus has given to us through his death and resurrection. All that we can take with us is this faith that he has given to us, that he's worked inside us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And friends, this is enough. Better yet, it's more than enough. It's all that we need. It's all that we will ever need. So I'm almost done, but here's the challenge for you. Lauren gave something to the kids. I have a challenge for you all. Over the next week, I'm going to challenge you each morning that you wake up in the contentment of God's love for you. I'm going to challenge you to name three things that you are thankful for. Three different things each day. I want you to write them down. I don't want you to. I'm going to challenge you. I do want you to, but I'm not going to make you. I'm going to challenge you to write them down. I'm going to challenge you to send them as a text to somebody, whether it be your spouse, your family group chat, or whoever it may be. Share them with a friend, someone. And then after you do that, thank God for those gifts. Ask him to help you be content with what he has already given to you. And rest yourself in his never-ending love and forgiveness that is yours in his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And while you're being content with what you've been given, yes, remember to be happy for your neighbors who are content in what God has blessed them with. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.